Luke agreed, a little defensively. Because Han was right. He had indeed gotten a little flashy at other times in the past. Many times, in fact. But only when it was necessary, and only to accomplish some great and noble goal. His power in the Force had saved his life numerous times, and Han's life, and the lives of countless others. In none of those instances had he had any other choice. And yet, Luke stared out the canopy at the distant stars. And yet there was Obi-Wan Kenobi, his first teacher in the Force. A powerful Jedi who'd nevertheless allowed himself to be cut down on the first Death Star rather than sweep Vader and the stormtroopers away with a wave of his hand. And there was Yoda, who had surely had as deep an understanding of the Force as anyone in recent history. If Luke's own current level of knowledge was any indication, Yoda could surely have defeated the Emperor all by himself. Yet he'd chosen instead to leave that task to Luke and the Rebel Alliance. And there was Callista, a woman he'd loved, who had run away from him because his power had somehow intimidated and frightened her.
Look, Luke, it might not mean anything. You know how alien minds work sometimes.
Yes, Luke murmured, but it was clearly not something to be dismissed out of hand. It was a question he needed to study and to meditate on and to discuss with his family and closest friends. He shuddered, that horrifying vision of a laughing emperor flickering across his memory. And he'd better do it fast. But as Han had said, one crisis at a time. Pulling up the X-Wing's nose, he eased into escort formation beside the transports and headed in. Chapter 3. For a long moment, Leia Organa Solo just stood there, the restless breezes of the Wayland Forest rustling through her hair, staring at the gold-colored protocol droid twitching nervously in front of her. There were, she reflected distantly, very few things in the galaxy anymore that could shock her speechless. Han Solo, her husband and father of her three children, was apparently still one of them.
He did what?
It was a rhetorical question, of course. Possibly a way of confirming to herself that her voice still functioned. C-3PO didn't realize that, or else didn't want to risk guessing wrong.
He and Chewbacca have gone to Iphigen, Your Highness. Several hours ago, shortly after you left on your tour, I tried to stop them, but he wouldn't listen. Please don't deactivate me.
Leia took a careful breath, stretching out to the Force to calm herself. Apparently she looked angrier than she actually was, and tried to think. Han would be on Iphigen by now, probably already engaged in a dialogue with the Diamalan and Ishori delegations. She could have her honor guard fly her there in one of their ships, calling ahead and telling Han to declare a recess until she arrived. The children she could leave here, the rest of the Nogri could look after them until she and Han returned. Alternatively, she could get in touch with President Gaversum and have him send someone else out there to take over. But either approach would make Han's effort an obvious and embarrassing false start. Hardly the sort of thing that would bolster the already low opinion the Diamala had of New Republic capabilities. In fact, depending on how seriously the Diamala chose to take it, it could easily make things worse than if she just left Han alone. Besides, he was a hero of the rebellion, and both the Diamala and Ishori appreciated that sort of thing. And after years of watching her handle this sort of negotiation, he must surely have picked up a trick or two.
Oh, one other thing. Captain Solo also made one other call before he and Chewbacca left. I believe it was to Master Luke.
Leia smiled wryly, her first real smile since 3PO had broken the news. She should have guessed that Han hadn't just rushed in on this thing alone. He'd conned Luke into going with him. 3PO was still standing there looking nervous. It's all right, 3PO, she soothed him. Once Han gets an idea in his head, there's no stopping him. He and Luke should be able to handle things. The droid seemed to wilt with relief.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Leia turned away from him and looked back across the clearing. Her youngest son, Anakin, was crouched down beside one of the slender airspeeders the group had just arrived in. And even at this distance, she could hear the mix of seriousness and excitement in the 8-year-old's voice as he discussed the finer points of design with the Nogri pilot. Standing a little way to one side beside the Mobb Quett speeder bikes that had flown escort for them, the twins, Jason and Jaina, were watching with the air of stressed patience that came naturally of being a whole year and a half older and wiser than their younger brother. Grouped around the children and vehicles were the short gray figures of their Nogri escort, the bulk of their attention directed outward. Even here at the edge of a Nogri settlement, they were continually on alert for danger. Beyond them, rising above the forest, Leia could see the top of Mount Tantis.
"Welcome back, Lady Vader,"
a gravelly Nogri mew came from beside her.
"Oh my,"
3PO said, jerking back. Only long experience and her strength of calmness in the Force kept Leia from doing the same. Even when they weren't particularly trying to be quiet, Nogri were next to impossible to hear. One of the many reasons why Grand Admiral Thrawn and Darth Vader before him had so coveted their services as private death commandos for the Empire. Had coveted that service so much, in fact, that they deliberately destroyed the Nogri homeworld of Honegger, keeping the Nogri at a perpetual edge of disaster. A disaster that had been carefully structured to keep them in eternal servitude. Leia had helped them discover the truth about the Empire's deceit. But though it had brought the Nogri firmly onto the side of the New Republic, it had in many ways been a hollow victory for all concerned. Despite the effort that had been put into the New Republic's restoration project over the past 10 years, hopes were steadily fading that Honegger could ever be truly brought back to life. And though the Nogri seemed reasonably content with their new settlements here on Wayland, Leia could hear the quiet sadness in their voices whenever they spoke of home. Alderaan, her own homeworld, had been shattered to dust before her eyes by the first Death Star. Honegger, brown and dead, had been destroyed more subtly, but no less thoroughly. Unknown numbers of others all across the galaxy had been ravaged by the war against the Empire. Some of those wounds would take a long time to heal. Others never would.
"I greet you, Kakmane, Clan Ikmir," she said to the Nogri standing beside her. "I trust all is well?"
"All is well and quiet,"
Kakmane said gravely, giving her the Nogri bow of respect.
"With perhaps one small exception."
"I know," Leia said. "Han and Chewie took off while we were on the tour."
Cockmame frowned.
"Was he not to leave?"
he demanded, his voice suddenly darker.
"He told us he was summoned."
"No, it's all right,"
Leia said quickly. Relations between Han and the Nogri had never been quite as relaxed as she might have liked, and she had no desire to add this incident onto anyone's grudge list.
"He should have talked to me first, but it's all right. He probably just didn't want me worrying about New Republic politics for a while."
Cockmame peered up at her.
"If I may say so, Lady Vader, I must concur with Han Clan Solo in this thought. Reports from your honor guard make it clear that you spend too little time in needed relaxation."
"I can't argue with that," Leia admitted. "It comes of having both a family and a job to do, and a limited number of hours per day to share between them. Maybe now that Ponk Gavrissom's taken over the presidency for a while, things will be easier."
"Perhaps,"
Cockmame said. not sounding any more convinced of that than Leia herself felt.
Still, while the Nograve people live, you shall always have a place of refuge among us. You and your children, and their children, always.
I appreciate that, Cockmame, Leia said, and meant it. There were very few places in the galaxy where she could feel as safe, both for herself and her children, as she did inside a Nogri settlement. But you mentioned a problem? Tell me.
I now hesitate to involve you, Lady Vader,
Cockmame said uncertainly.
You came here for relaxation, not to settle disputes. Further, I would dislike to take you away from your first sons and first daughter.
The children are doing fine right where they are,
Leia assured him, looking back at the group. Anakin was halfway underneath the airspeeder now, with a pair of Nogri legs sticking out alongside his. The twins still had that strained, patient look as they talked quietly together. But Leia could see Jaina's hand fondly stroking the saddle of one of the speeder bikes.
Anakin has inherited his father's love of puzzles, she told Cockmame. And the twins aren't nearly as bored as they might pretend. Tell me about this dispute.
As you wish. Please, come with me.
Leia nodded.
3PO, you might as well stay here.
Certainly, Your Highness,
the droid said, a definite note of relief in his voice. 3PO hated disputes. The two of them walked a short distance through the trees to a second clearing. This one, the main part of the Nogri's Mount Tantus settlement. Clustered together were perhaps 30 houses, built to the same basic design of the homes Leia had seen on Honiger, though modified by the differences in local building materials. In the middle was the longer, somewhat taller, Duka clan center. Other Nogri settlements on Wayland had transported their ancient clan Dukas from Honiger, making them the honored focal points of their villages on this world, just as they had been back home. But the Mount Tantus settlement had a specific mission to perform, and part of that mission was to never forget what the Empire and Emperor had taken from the Nogri people. Their clan center, freshly built from local lumber and stone, was a permanent and graphic reminder of that loss. The Duca door was flanked by a pair of straight-backed Nogri children, performing their door warder duties with the seriousness of generations of custom and ritual. One of them pulled open the door, and Cockmame and Leia stepped inside. The clan center consisted of a single large room, roofed with heavy wooden beams, with walls on which the history and genealogy of the settlement had begun to be carved. Two-thirds of the way back was the throne-like high seat, the only chair in the room. And seated on the floor, at the foot of the high seat, dressed in dirt-stained clothing, was a Deveronian.
Nah,
he said, favoring Cockmame with a thin smile as he got to his feet.
My kindly hosts, I hope you brought food. I'm beginning to get hungry.
He shifted his attention to Leia.
And you, I take it, are the wandering decision-maker I was promised?
This is New Republic High Counselor Leia Organa Solo.
Cockmame identified her. His voice edged with knives.
You will speak to her with respect.
Of course,
the Deveronian said dryly, touching the rightmost of his two forehead horns with the fingertips of his right hand.
I would never speak otherwise to an official of the New Republic.
Of course not,
Leia said, matching his tone as she stretched out toward him with the Force. Male Deveronians were avid travelers and a common sight in the spaceports of the galaxy, but there had been few, if any, of them in the Rebel Alliance, and she had never had much personal contact with the species.
And your name?
She asked, trying to get a reading on his thoughts and emotions.
I am Lakjit, Counselor. A simple seeker of knowledge and truth.
Leia smiled. Of course, she said, focusing a bit harder on his thoughts. There was no change she could detect that would indicate a lie, but given her unfamiliarity with the species, that didn't mean much. More than likely, it was no more than a bending or embellishment of the truth, anyway.
Tell me about this dispute, Cockmame.
This alien was discovered near Mount Tantis by one of the cleansing teams,
Cockmame said, his gaze hard on the Deveronian.
He had been digging through the soil in the fault line area and had found 6 data cards. When the team attempted to take them from him, he claimed possession under the Devil Agreement.
Really?
Leia said, eyeing the Deveronian with new interest. The Devil Agreement was a slice-of-the-moment compromise deal she'd worked out between the Nogri cleansing teams, who had sworn to eradicate every memory of the Emperor's presence on Wayland. And Garv Debel, a New Republic archaeologist who had insisted that items plundered from other worlds should be returned to their proper owners. The agreement had been informal and reasonably private. Hardly something a casual treasure hunter would know about.
Tell me, Lakjit, how did you come to know about the Devil Agreement?
Quite honestly, Counselor, I assure you,
the Deveronian said.
I am associated with a human who I believe has had some dealings with the New Republic. Talon Card.
I see,
Leia said, keeping her voice and face expressionless. To say that Talon Card had had dealings with the New Republic was to vastly understate the case. Smuggler chief and information broker, with an organization that stretched across the known galaxy, Card had reluctantly thrown in with the New Republic during the massive Imperial counteroffensive led by Grand Admiral Thrawn. More than that, he'd put together an unlikely coalition of fellow smugglers that had played a significant role in stopping Thrawn's advance and ultimately defeating him. The coalition had drifted apart over the years, but Leia had made an effort to keep somewhat in touch with Card himself. A presence brushed at the back of her mind, and she turned as Jason came into the room.
"Mom, when are we going to the mountain?"
he asked, throwing an incurious look at the Deveronian.
"You said we'd be going to see the mountain after the other tour."
"We'll go soon, honey," Leia said. "Just a little business to clear up first."
Jason frowned.
"I thought we weren't going to have any business here."
"It'll just take a minute,"
Leia assured him.
"But I'm bored,"
he insisted. He looked at Lakjit again, and Leia could sense the effort as the child reached out with his limited abilities in the Force.
"Are you my mom's business?"
he asked.
"Yes,"
Lakjit said with another thin smile.
"And she is right. It will only take a minute. Counselor Organa Solo, it should be clear that historical data cards are precisely the sort of thing the Devil Agreement was created to protect. Therefore..."
"We have only your statement that the data cards are historical,"
Cockmame put in.
"We must study them ourselves."
"Agreed,"
Leia said, before the Deveronian could object. Unfortunately, that kind of examination could take hours, and the children were waiting.
"Here's the offer, Lakjit. I'll take the data cards, paying you 500 now as earnest money. After I've examined them, the New Republic will pay you whatever they're worth."
"And who'll decide that value?"
Lakjit demanded.
"I will,"
Leia said.
"Or, if you prefer, I can take the data cards back to Coruscant and ask Counselor C.N. Sieve or another historical expert to evaluate them."
"And if I refuse?"
Leia nodded toward Cockmame.
"Would you prefer I let the Nogri set the price?"
Lakjit grimaced, an expression that came across as just another Deveronian smile, only thinner.
"I seem to have no alternative."
He stepped forward, thrusting out a stack of data cards.
"Here, then. Evaluate. Since you have not brought me food, would you and your hosts object if I went and foraged while you work?
You said just a minute, Mom.
Jason spoke up. Quiet, Jason, Leia said, gingerly taking the stack of data cards and doing a quick count of the edges. 6 of them, all right. As filthy and dirt-stained as Lakjit's clothing. They'd probably been blown out of Mount Tantis with the general cloud of debris when Chewbacca and Lando Calrissian set off the base's power reactor, and had been lying buried in the Wayland soil ever since. Lakjit cleared his throat.
May I...
Yes, go. Leia cut him off. She hadn't realized Deveronians foraged for food, and she certainly wasn't interested in the details.
Jason, be quiet. It'll just be another minute, I promise.
Please be quick,
Lakjit said, and disappeared out the door.
Mom!
If you're bored, why don't you ask Cockmame to show you the history they're carving in the walls here? Leia suggested, gingerly brushing at the dirt covering the top data card. Or go join the Nogri children in their fighting class. I think Mobvikar was going to be teaching them leverage holds today. Jason sniffed.
Jedi don't need that stuff. We have the Force.
You're not a Jedi yet, Leia reminded him, giving him a stern look. She wasn't exactly happy about this interruption in their vacation either. But all his whining was accomplishing was to drag it out further.
If you were, you'd know that just because you have the Force doesn't mean you can ignore the condition of your physical body. The Nogri combat classes are good exercise.
So's hiking up the mountain,
Jason countered.
So when are we going?
When I'm done, Leia said firmly, finishing her cleanup job and peering at the data card's label. Listings of the 4th Pesteriv Conference, it said. Nothing important there. One way or the other, the Pesteriv Conferences had been completely open and just as completely documented. Unless the Emperor had his own private version of what had gone on there. Something to check out later, though the data card would have to be thoroughly cleaned before she would be willing to risk it in her datapad. Shifting the data card to the bottom of the stack, she peered at the label of the 2nd. Equally innocuous. Something about Rydar mating dances. The 3rd data card. She stared at the label. A sudden chill running straight through her. 4 words, with the dirt already brushed off. The Hand of Thrawn.
Mom?
Jason asked, his voice not much above a whisper. Young and inexperienced in the Force, he nevertheless was keenly attuned to his mother, almost as closely attuned as he was to his sister, Jaina.
What's wrong?
Leia reached out to the Force, calming herself.
I'm all right, she told her son. Something on this card just startled me, that's all.
Jason craned his neck to look.
The Hand of Thrawn? What does that mean?
Leia shook her head.
I don't know. Oh?
Jason frowned up at her.
Then how come you were so scared?
It was a good question, Leia had to admit. Could the simple, if unexpected, appearance of Thrawn's name really have thrown her so hard? Even coupled with her memories of his near victory, it didn't seem likely.
I don't know that either, Jason, she said. Maybe I was just remembering the past.
Or seeing into the future,
Cockmame said softly.
The Malare Hoosh has great powers, second son of Vader.
I know, Jason said gravely. She's my mom.
And don't you forget it, Leia admonished him mock severely as she ruffled his hair.
Now be quiet a minute and let's see what this is all about.
Pulling her datapad from her pouch, suddenly not caring at all about possible dust contamination, she slid the data card in.
What does it say?
Cockmane asked quietly.
Leia shook her head. Nothing,
she told him.
At least nothing legible.
She tried a different section of the card, then another.
Looks like the whole data card has been scrambled.
I guess 10 years of exposure will do that. Maybe the experts on Coruscant can... She broke off. Jason's face and thoughts.
Mom?
He blurted.
Gina and Anakin!
It's Lakjit, Leia snapped, stretching out through the Force and catching the sudden flash of fright from her children. She caught a second-hand image of the Deveronian charging through the clearing and a sudden cloud of billowing white smoke.
Cockmame!
But Cockmame was already through the door, screaming the alert in the warbling Nogri combat code. Jamming the datapad and data cards back into her hip pack, Leia grabbed Jason's hand and followed Cockmame outside, clearing the doorway just as an answer trilled through the trees.
They are unharmed,
Cockmame said, his tone icy with grim relief.
The Deveronian has stolen a speeder bike.
All around them, armed Nogri were pouring out of the houses in response to Cockmame's alert.
Which way was he going?
Leia asked, heading across the settlement. On both sides of them, Nogri were falling into escort positions. Ahead, through the trees, she could see glimpses of the smoke as it dispersed. Stretching out through the Force, she sent reassurance to her children. Cockmame warbled again, was answered as they reached the edge of the settlement.
Unknown,
he reported.
They could not see his departure.
Most of the smoke had cleared by the time they reached the clearing a minute later. Of the 9 Nogri Leia had left there, 6 remained, pressing in a tight defensive circle around the children.
Jaina, Anakin,
she breathed, dropping to one knee beside them and giving them each a quick but tight hug. There was no need to ask if they were all right. Her Jedi senses had already confirmed that.
Kabarak, what happened?
He surprised us, Lady Vader,
the Nogri said, his face set in the quiet agony of a warrior who has failed his duty.
He walked casually into the clearing and dropped his digging tool onto the ground between us. Part of the handle was a disguised smoke grenade, which exploded with the impact. We could hear him as he activated one of the speeder bikes. But I would not allow any to try to seek him out in the smoke. Should I have acted differently?
No,
Cockmame said firmly.
The machine is of no consequence. Only the safety of the Lady Vader's first children is important. Your honor is not compromised, Kavarak Clan Kimbar.
Jaina tugged at Leia's sleeve.
Why did he run, Mother? Was he afraid of the Nogri?
In a way, honey, yes, Leia said grimly. Suddenly, with the clear vision of hindsight, the whole deception was obvious. Pulling the Deveronian's data cards from her hip pack, she fanned them in her hands. All of them, as she'd already noted, had dirty edges. On one, though, it was only the edges that were dirty.
Lady Vader!
Leia turned. From the brush at the edge of the clearing, 2 Nogri were helping up a dazed-looking 3PO.
Oh, my! I must have taken a bad step.
3PO!
Anakin squealed, ducking between his mother and Cockmame and racing across to help.
You all right?
3PO briefly examined his arms.
I appear to be undamaged, Master Anakin. Thank you.
We've got to find him,
Leia said, turning back to Cockmame and Kabarak and holding up the clean data card.
He's still got one of the data cards he found at the mountain.
I will send out more searchers,
Cockmame said, pulling out a comlink.
Perhaps I can also arrange an unexpected surprise for our thief.
Your Highness, I don't know if this is of any use to you, or indeed whether or not you already know it, but before I tripped and fell, I...
Speak quickly,
Cockmame snapped. 3PO shrank back slightly.
I observed the stolen speeder bike leave in that direction,
he pointed.
Hey, yeah,
Anakin said.
3PO was outside the smoke.
He's making for the northern side of Mount Tantus,
Cockmame said decisively.
undoubtedly where his ship is located. Kavarak, your group will take the air speeders and remaining speeder bikes and pursue. I will take the Lady Vega and her first children back to the settlement.
Just the children, Cockmame, Leia corrected, heading for one of the airspeeders. I'm going with Kavarak.
30 seconds later, the group was airborne.
Do we have any idea where his ship might be?
Leia asked as the vehicles tore across the landscape.
The Maneirishi will know, Kavarak said. They watch all movements near the Forbidden Mountain. Perhaps that is the surprise Cockmame spoke of.
Leia pulled out a set of macro binoculars from the airspeeder's storage compartment, and for a few minutes, she scanned across the forest below and ahead.
Nothing. He's probably staying right down at ground level, she said.
That will slow him, Kavarak said. Still, if we cannot locate his ship, he will likely be able to lift off before we reach him.
And unless the Nogri airspeeders were lucky enough to be right on top of him at the time, the Deveronian would be out of their firing range in a matter of seconds. Pressing her face tighter against the macro binoculars, Leia stretched out as hard as she could through the Force, trying to locate Lakjit's presence. There was nothing she could detect from the forest ahead of them. But even as she tried to focus her thoughts more tightly, she caught a flicker of something else nearby. Something unexpected, yet definitely familiar, and coming steadily closer. Lowering the macro binoculars, she half-closed her eyes and tried to focus on the sensation.
Hold on!
Kavarak snapped, and the airspeeder curved sharply around to the left. Leia grabbed for a handhold, nearly losing her grip on the macro binoculars. Ahead and below them, an old Gimsnor II freighter had appeared above the trees. Half-closing her eyes again, she stretched out toward the freighter, finally catching the Deveronian's presence.
That's him, she confirmed. Can we stop him?
We will try,
Kavarak said. Leia grimaced. Do or do not, there is no try. Luke had quoted that Jedi dictum to her over and over during her training. And it was quickly becoming clear that here, too, there was no try. Even with the airspeeders running full throttle, the Gimsnor was steadily pulling away from its pursuers. Ahead of it, there was nothing. No ships, no hills, no obstacles of any sort. Nothing that would slow it down. Already it was above the speeder bike's maximum height limit. A few minutes more, and it would be leaving the airspeeders behind as well. There was a sudden gravelly mewing of Nogri words from the comm speaker. Kavarak answered, and abruptly the airspeeders slowed. Leia turned to him, opening her mouth to ask why they were giving up the chase. And with a terrific roar, a spaceship shot past them on their right, heading straight for the Gimsnor.
Kavarak!
Leia snapped, wincing as the airspeeder bucked in the other ship's slipstream.
It is all right, Lady Vega,
Kavarak assured her.
It is an ally.
An ally?
Leia repeated, frowning at the newcomer. A Corellian Action 6 bulk freighter, by the looks of it. Nearly 4 times the size of Lakjit's ship to begin with. And if the raid it was closing on the Deveronium was any indication, it had undergone a substantial engine upgrade. Lakjit had apparently come to a similar conclusion. Banking hard to the right, he dipped back down toward the trees and then cut sharply up and around, settling into a new vector and clawing hard for space. It was a maneuver that Leia had seen used time and again in the war against the Empire, and it was one that nearly always worked against a larger and more ungainly pursuer. But in this case, it didn't. Almost before Lakjit had even begun his turn, the Action 6 was moving to counter. And by the time the Gimsnor had straightened out, the larger ship was right back on top of him, forcing him to abandon his climb or risk a mid-air collision. Slowly but inexorably, the Deveronian was being forced down.
Well done,
Kavarak said.
Yes, Leia murmured,
and finally she understood the odd sensation she'd felt a few minutes ago.
So this is the surprise Cockmane promised.
Yes, Kabarak said. The wild card, with your allies Talon Card and Mara Jade aboard.
He eyed her almost furtively.
I trust you are not displeased.
Leia smiled tightly. Talon Card, genteel smuggler chief, one-time ally of the New Republic, considered untrustworthy by the majority of the High Council. Mara Jade, former agent of the Emperor, Card's second in command, and aside from Leia herself, Luke's first attempt at teaching the ways of the Force. Also considered untrustworthy.
No, Kabarak, I am not displeased at all, Leia assured him. Like the Nogri, I too remember the past.
The Gimsnor squatted in the clearing, canted slightly to one side on a crumpled landing skid, its hatchway open and surrounded by a group of Nogri.
I wouldn't have believed you could force a ship down like that,
Leia commented, running a critical eye over the freighter.
Not without wrecking half of it in the process.
Beside her, Talon Card shrugged modestly.
Cockmame said relatively undamaged, he told her. We do try to please.
And you generally succeed,
Leia agreed. A pair of Nogri appeared at the hatchway, conversed briefly with the others standing guard outside, then disappeared back inside.
I'm glad you happened to be on Wayland. What are you doing here, anyway?
Business, Card told her. I've been experimenting with hiring Nogri to help protect my contact people in some of the more dangerous or unsavory parts of the galaxy.
Leia frowned.
I hadn't heard anything about this.
We've been keeping it quiet, Card said. I'm not exactly welcome on Coruscant these days. And given your close ties with the Nogri, we didn't want your reputation and influence damaged by association.
I appreciate your concern,
Leia said.
But I can take care of my own reputation, thank you. And as far as New Republic hospitality goes, there are still quite a few of us who haven't forgotten your part in stopping Grand Admiral Thrawn.
I don't think any of the High Councilors or Senators have actually forgotten,
Card countered, an uncharacteristic touch of bitterness seeping into his voice and mood.
The point is that many of them resented my organization's assistance, even at the time we were providing it.
Leia looked up at him, noting the hard set of his face and the equally hard edge to his emotions. She'd been aware that official ties between Card's smuggler friends and the New Republic had been growing more and more distant over the past few years, but she hadn't realized he felt this strongly about it.
I'm sorry,
was all she could think of to say.
What can I do to help?
He waved the offer away, and as he did so, the bitterness faded into a kind of wry resignation.
Don't try, he said. Smugglers are part of the fringe, just like mercenaries and conmen and pirates. Try to defend us, and all you'll accomplish will be to get muddied alongside us.
As I've already said, my reputation is my own concern.
Besides which, Card continued quietly, drawing any attention to me at this point would also put the Nogri at risk. Or don't you think some in the High Council would consider hiring themselves out to a smuggler to be an unacceptable activity?
Leia grimaced, but he was right. And with the Nogri still under their self-imposed cloud of penance for their years of service to the Empire, the clan dynasts would be extremely sensitive to any such charges.
I'm sorry,
she said again.
Don't be, Card advised her. If the New Republic doesn't need me, I certainly don't need it either. Ah, here we go.
Leia looked back at the freighter. A new group had exited the hatchway. Three Nogri, a sullen-looking Lak Jit, and Mara Jade, her red-gold hair glistening in the sunlight. In her hand was a dirt-stained data card.
Incidentally,
Whatever happened with Mara's independent trading company? Leia asked. I heard it had failed, but never heard why.
It didn't fail. It was simply closed down, Card said. Actually, it was never meant to be anything permanent. I wanted her to have some experience running a small company directly, so we set her up with one. All part of the process of grooming her to take over my organization someday.
The group crossed the clearing to where Card and Leia were waiting. To Leia's complete lack of surprise, the Deveronian got in the first word.
I vehemently protest this treatment, he bit out, his eyes and horns glistening with anger. I have committed no crime that would permit you, Counselor Organa Solo, to open fire on me and to cause damage to my ship. Rest assured that I will be lodging formal complaints with the New Republic High Council and Senate, the Ogister Sector Assembly, the Corellian Merchants Guild,
and your employer, Talon Card, Card suggested mildly.
Certainly, and Talon Card,
Lakjit agreed.
I demand the immediate return of my property, and—
He broke off, his eyes focusing on Card for the first time. Leia stretched out with the Force and caught the sudden startled burst of recognition.
You are—
Yes, Card confirmed, his voice suddenly cold. He held out a hand, and Mara put the data card into it. Tell me, where were you taking this?
I was going to bring it to you, of course,
Lakjit said. Leia looked at Mara, standing a little behind the Deveronian, her hand resting casually on the lightsaber attached to her belt. The other woman returned Leia's look, a knowing and slightly cynical half-smile on her face. Clearly both of them had caught the quaver in Lakjit's thoughts. Mara shifted her eyes back to Card, tilted her head fractionally to the left.
That's lie number one, Lakjit, Card told the Deveronian, lifting a finger. One more, and I'll inform the Corellian Merchants Guild you're illegally using their name. The temperature of his voice dropped still lower. Third lie puts you in trouble with me. Now, where were you going?
The Deveronian seemed to shrink.
To sell the data card. To those who would pay the most.
He looked furtively at Leia.
Much better than she would have. And who are these generous people?
Card asked. Lakjit twitched his horns left, then right, the Deveronian equivalent of a shrug.
You'll know as soon as you read it. Be careful when you do. I nearly destroyed my datapad trying. It's extremely dirty.
Yes, I noticed. Card looked at Mara. You've checked his entire ship?
The Nogri are still poking around, but this is definitely the card, Mara said.
All right.
Card looked back at the Deveronian.
As soon as they're finished, you can leave. Depending on what we find in the data card, you may or may not still be associated with my organization. Your usual contacts will let you know.
Lakjit bowed elaborately.
As always, a most generous master, he said.
Not quite enough sarcasm in his tone to take offense at, he looked at Leia.
There was, I believe, mention of 500 in earnest money.
Leia and Card exchanged incredulous glances.
I think you forfeited any claims to that when you threw the smoke grenade at my children, she told the Deveronian. We'll still pay you whatever we decide these data cards are worth, but now you'll have to wait.
They may pay you, Card amended. I may consider taking any such payment as my fee for helping keep you here.
Lakjit smiled thinly.
As I said, a most generous master.
Just be thankful you didn't try this on a hut, Card countered. Get going.
The Deveronian bowed again and headed back toward his ship, the three Nogri trailing along with him.
Yours, I believe, Card said, handing Leia the data card.
We have facilities for cleaning it aboard the wild card, if you'd care to avail yourself of them.
Which would allow you a chance to read it over my shoulder?
Leia suggested dryly. Card smiled.
We could consider it my fee. Unless you don't think we've earned it.
Leia shook her head in mock resignation.
Sometimes I forget what dealing with you is like, Card. Lead on.
The last readable page scrolled a second time across the display, giving way to the randomly scattered bits and blanks of the ruined sections of the data card. Carefully, Leia set the datapad down on a corner of Card's desk, feeling her heart pounding in her throat. Suddenly, the private office, which had seemed so snug and warm only minutes ago, felt very cold. A movement caught her eye as she stared into the distance. Card, now seated in the high-backed chair on the other side of the desk, reaching over to the datapad.
Well, he said soberly, as he swiveled the device around to face him. At least we now know why our Bothan friend, Phelia, was so anxious that Mount Tantis be thoroughly destroyed.
Leia nodded silently, that scene from 10 years earlier flashing back to mind. Counselor Borsk Phelia, standing outside the wild card in the Imperial City on Coruscant, all but pleading with Card to fly Leia to Wayland to help Han and the others destroy the Emperor's Mount Tantis storehouse, warning darkly that there were things in that storehouse that, if found, could bring disaster to the Bothan people and the galaxy. Lak Jit had found it, and Phelia had been right.
I don't suppose there's any chance the record is a forgery, Card said, gazing thoughtfully at the datapad. Something the Emperor might have created with an eye to someday blackmailing the Bothans.
I doubt it, Leia said. The Royal Library on Alderaan had a great deal of information on the attack that burned off Ka'amas, details that were never made public knowledge.
It's hard to believe anything about Ka'amas could have been kept secret, Card said. The outrage at the time was certainly widespread enough. Worse even than when your own Alderaan was destroyed.
Leia nodded mechanically, her mind's eye drawn unwillingly back to the horrifying hollow images that she'd seen as a child in the history records.
The destruction of Ka'amas had happened before her time, but the pictures were as vivid as if she'd witnessed the aftermath of the event in person.
The attack had been sudden and thorough, with a viciousness that had made it stand out even against the widespread devastation of the Clone Wars that had preceded it. Perhaps that was what the attackers had banked on, that a populace weary of war would be too emotionally drained to even notice, much less care about the fate of a single world. But if that was indeed their strategy, it turned out to be a serious miscalculation. The Ka'amasi had been a good and noble people, with an artistic bent and a gentle wisdom that had won them a deep respect even among their adversaries. Their unwavering belief in peace through moral strength had been a strong influence on the political philosophies of many worlds, including Alderaan, while their firm support of the principles of the Old Republic had made them a rallying point for all such supporters during the political chaos of that era. It was still not known who the attackers had been, who had come out of nowhere to systematically and ruthlessly burn off the planet. None of the Ka'amasi's political opponents had claimed credit. Indeed, all of them had joined in the universal condemnation, at least verbally, and the Ka'amasi's surviving records of the battle were too badly damaged to be of any use in identification. But with Lak Jit's data card, at least one piece of the puzzle had now been solved.
They were an almost universally beloved people, Leia sighed, bringing her attention back to the present. Still are, those few who are left. She blinked back tears. You wouldn't have known, but there was a large Ka'amasi refugee group on Alderaan when I was growing up, living in the South Islands, in secret under my father's protection. They were hoping that someday, when they were strong enough, they could return to Ka'amas and try to rebuild.
Interesting, Card murmured,
absently stroking his beard. As it happens, I did know about that group. I used to smuggle in foodstuffs and medicines they needed that were on Alderaan's forbidden import list. I always wondered why your customs people never seemed to notice me.
My father didn't want anything official showing up in any import records, Leia said. He'd always suspected Palpatine's involvement in Ka'amas' destruction, either directly or through intermediaries, especially when it became clear as to the direction Palpatine was trying to twist the Republic. The Ka'amasi would never have stood for it, and they would have been much quicker to recognize and respond to the threat than we on Alderaan were.
Hence, they had to be eliminated, Card said heavily. As you say, obvious in hindsight. He gestured toward the datapad. But I would never have guessed there were Bothans involved.
It's going to surprise everybody, Leia said, wincing. And it couldn't have come at a worse time. With tensions and brush wars cropping up all over the New Republic, I'm not at all sure we're in any shape to deal rationally with something like this.
There was a flicker of presence from outside the office, and she turned as the door slid open.
The alert's out, Mara said, coming into the office and sitting down next to Leia. All our ships in ground stations, and I got word to Mazix and Klingon's people, too. If Lakjit gets near any of them, we'll have him.
She nodded at the datapad.
Was there anything else on the data card? Nothing readable,
Leia told her.
Maybe the techs on Coruscant can pull something more out of it. I doubt it, though.
We were just trading bits and pieces of information on Ka'amas and the aftermath, Card said. You wouldn't happen to have anything to add, would you? Mara threw him a cool look.
You mean like the names and clans of the Bothans who sabotaged Ka'amas' planetary shield generators?
That would be a good start, he agreed. Mara snorted gently.
I'll bet it would. Unfortunately, I don't know anything more than what's on that data card. Less, actually, since I didn't know there were any Bothans involved. Don't forget, Ka'amas was long gone by the time the Emperor found me and trained me to be his hand. He never mentioned the attack? Leia asked. Bragged or gloated about it? Anything?
Mara shook her head.
Not to me. The only time he even mentioned the Ka'amasi was once when he was convinced they were stirring up Bail Organa against him and was thinking about sending me to do something about it. But then he changed his mind.
Leia felt her heart tighten inside her.
He must have decided he had something better to use as an object lesson. The Death Star.
For a long minute, no one spoke. Then Card stirred. What are you going to do with the data card? He asked. With an effort, Leia pushed back the memories of her shattered home and lost family and friends.
I don't have any choice, she told him. Lakjit's already read it, and he's bound to spread the story out of spite, if nothing else. All I can do is try to get word back to Coruscant before that happens. At least give the High Council some time to prepare for the uproar.
Card looked at Mara. What's our schedule look like?
Busy, she said. But we've got time to drop her off first.
If you'd like a ride, that is, Card said, turning back to Leia. Though with Solo and the Wookiee off somewhere in the Falcon, I suppose you don't really have much choice. Leia made a face.
Was I the last one on the planet to find out Han had left?
Card smiled. Probably. But then, information is my business.
I remember when it used to be mine, too, Leia said with a sigh. Yes, I'd be very grateful for a ride. Do you have room for my children and Kabarak's team?
I'm sure we can squeeze them in, Card assured her, reaching across his desk to the comm. Duncan, get us ready to fly. We'll be picking up Counselor Organa Solo's children and honor guard at the Nogri Mount Tantis settlement, and then heading out. He got an acknowledgement and switched off.
Kokmim said Lakjit found 6 data cards, he said, eyeing Leia closely.
Was there anything of this magnitude on any of the others?
There was one that might be,
Leia said mechanically, a sudden thought jabbing like a blade into her.
Mara Jade, once a secret and powerful agent of the Emperor's, known only as the Emperor's Hand.
She turned to look at Mara, found those brilliant green eyes gazing with equal intensity back at her.
The Emperor's Hand. The Hand of Thrawn.
A memory sparked. 10 years ago, soon after the birth of Jason and Jaina, the two women facing each other in a small room in the Imperial Palace.
Leia staring into those same green eyes as Mara calmly announced her intention to kill Leia's brother, Luke. Even then, she'd recognized Mara's abilities in the Force. Now, with practice and some of Luke's own training, those powers were even more in evidence. She could feel Mara's thoughts probing at her own, testing her mind and trying to discern what it was that was suddenly troubling her. And it occurred to her, or was perhaps wordlessly suggested, that Mara, with her unique Imperial background, might already know who or what was meant by the Hand of Thrawn. But she couldn't ask her. Not now. Mara and Card she considered friends, but this was something that the High Council of the New Republic should hear about first.
I can't say anything about it, she told them. Not yet.
I understand, Card said, his eyes flicking thoughtfully between the two women.
He knew that something was going on beneath the surface, but was too polite to press the point. Besides, he'd be able to find out about it later from Mara anyway.
No harm in asking. He lowered his eyes to the datapad. It does occur to me, though, that we might be worrying more than necessary about this whole Ka-Mas thing. That was a long time ago, and it could be that no one will care anymore who is to blame. Leia shook her head.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Neither do I, Mara said.
Card grimaced. No, neither do I.
Chapter 4
He laid it out for them, all of it, in complete and painful detail. And when he'd finished, they were, as he'd expected, outraged.
You must be joking, Admiral Pellion,
Moff Andre said, his voice icy.
I agree,
Moff Bimos said, fingering the massive Kodoran ring on his finger.
We are the Empire, Admiral. The Empire does not surrender. Then the Empire dies,
Pellion said bluntly.
I'm sorry, Your Excellencies, but that is the end line of all this. The Empire is beaten. With a negotiated peace treaty, we can at least...
I've heard enough,
Moff Hort spat, sweeping his data cards off the table into his hand with a grand gesture and pushing back his chair.
I have important business waiting for me back at my sector.
As do I.
Moff Quillen joined in, standing up with him.
If you ask me, a man like this has no business leading our military forces.
Sit down,
a quiet voice ordered.
Both of you.
Pellion focused on the man who'd spoken, seated at the far end of the table from him. He was short and slender, with receding silver hair, piercing yellow-flecked blue eyes, and claw-like hands that were far stronger than they looked. His face was lined with age and bitterness, his mouth twisted with cruelty and smoldering ambition. He was Moff Deesra, chief administrator of Braxton Sector, ruler of the new Imperial Capital planet codenamed Bastion, and their host here in the conference room of his palace. And of all the 8 remaining Moffs, the one Pellion trusted the least. Quillen and Hort were looking at Deesra too, their intended grand exit suddenly faltering into uncertainty. Hort made as if to speak. Then, silently, both of them resumed their seats.
Thank you.
Deesra shifted his gaze to Pellion.
Please continue, Admiral.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
Pelion looked around the table.
I don't...